6. The tunnel Maracy entered bore signs of ancient civilization, the remnants of brick walls covering up the rough natural stone. A smooth floor, chiseled and grated. Sconces on the walls, now pocked with rust as if suffering some terrible disease. She took out the last of her grenades, the one Wax had charged for her. These newer ones could hold a charge for hours, though by now the effect wouldn't last long once activated. 3 or 4 minutes at most. She still felt better holding it, and so, reluctantly, she set her rifle on the ground and instead drew her pistol. It also contained less metal than the rifle, making it a slightly better tool against a potential allomancer. For the same reason, she left her pouch with extra metals, though she kept her belt with a few non-metal tools useful for fighting allomancers. Grenade and pistol in hand, she crept forward into the dim tunnel. The gang members had hooked some electric lights along the right wall, cords tied around the ancient sconces, but they flickered drowsily as if seconds from nodding off to sleep. She soon reached another vast open cavern, but lingered at the entrance, crouching and inspecting the path ahead. The cycle had come this way, and part of her wanted to scramble after him as fast as possible. The more careful part of her kept calm, watching for an ambush. This particular cavern held a long, narrow rift running from her left to her right. An ancient stone bridge had spanned it, but it had fallen long ago, and instead a newer construction of boards and rope stretched across the perhaps 16-foot gap. About 30 feet of stone ground separated her from the chasm and bridge, and a tunnel in the wall on the other side continued the path forward. She didn't go toward the bridge, though. She hesitated, still at the mouth of the chamber. These brick walls were so old. Who had built them centuries ago? Was this like the originator tomb in the heart of Elendil? Had people huddled in this cavern, their walls and bridge falling, as Harmony remade the world? Regardless, she was worried. The cycle had seen her. Her instincts said he wouldn't just run off, his back exposed. He'd lay a trap. She looked carefully and glimpsed a dark shape behind some rocks between her and the chasm. He was probably hoping she'd rush across the bridge so he could shoot her from behind. Unfortunately, as she spotted him, he rose and lifted a gun. Maracy activated the grenade, which she'd been holding close to her chest, by reflex. It let out a powerful steel push, ripping her pistol out of her hand and tossing it out in front of her. It fell straight into the chasm. Her reaction had been just in time, though, because the cycle unloaded his pistol at her, and each shot missed, the bullets veering away and snapping into stone to either side of her. Maracy dashed straight at him, picking out his fine suit in the dim light. His features were more rugged than she'd expected. A thick neck, stubble on his chin. She'd hoped he would be carrying metal and her advance with a grenade would throw him off balance. Instead, he merely lost his own pistol, which was pushed across the chasm, hitting the wall on the other side and falling near the path over there. Other than that, it appeared he, like Maracy, was wise enough not to keep much metal on his person. "By the authority of the 4th Octant Constabulary," she said, stopping 10 feet or so from him, "you are under arrest for tariff avoidance, racketeering, and illegal transport of weapons. You're unarmed and cornered. Do the smart thing and surrender." Instead, he grinned, then began to grow. His suit had buttons along the arms which snapped open, giving more room as his muscles expanded to ridiculous proportions. His jacket stayed on, but also expanded through clever use of unsnapping wooden buttons along the sides. Oh, hell! A ferrochemist! He didn't have the terrorist look, but then neither did Wayne. You couldn't always tell. Maracy retreated. Getting into a fistfight with someone tapping strength was a quick road to a crushed face. Instead, she switched off the grenade to conserve the rest of the charge and ran for the bridge and the gun on the other side. The cycle lunged forward and cut her off by placing himself directly in front of the bridge. There, with a laugh, he ripped apart the ropes, holding it in place. Okay. Ferrochemists weren't like allomancers. They couldn't just pop a new metal charge into their mouths and keep going. Maybe she could run him out of strength. He dropped the rope, letting the whole wooden construct collapse. Trell has wanted you in particular, lawwoman, he noted in a voice that seemed too high-pitched for the enormous body. So kind of you to deliver yourself to me. Marcy turned and dashed for her rifle. Thumping footsteps chased her, gaining on her, forcing her to throw herself to the ground just before reaching the rifle. Her move let her narrowly dodge a grab. She rolled as he punched, hitting the ground and grunting, then raising bloodied knuckles. Ferrochemical strength could be dangerous. A lot of the metallic arts could hurt you, her own included. She managed to dodge the next punches as well. Fortunately for her, the cycle didn't seem practiced with his powers. Despite the prepared clothing, he obviously found it awkward to move and fight in this bulkier form. What kind of ferrochemist didn't practice with their abilities? She scrambled for her rifle, getting to her knees and half-lunging, half-falling to grab it. He moved first, leaping over her with a powerful bound to snatch the gun. He then snapped it clean in half and hurled the barrel at her. She barely activated the grenade in time, which bounced the barrel back at him, but she was holding the box awkwardly. It nearly slipped from her fingers at the jolt of force from the thrown object. Steel pushes, force transference. The cycle wasn't the only one using powers they weren't practiced with. She turned off the box as the cycle dodged. The barrel of her rifle bounced against the rear wall and then rolled toward her. She reached for it, thinking to use it as a club. Unfortunately, he lunged and seized her left arm, the one holding the box. His powerful grip squeezed her flesh and rusts! It felt like he could crush her very bones. Cursing in pain, she scrambled at her belt and the sheath there. As her eyes started to water, she brought up a small glittering weapon and stabbed him straight through the arm. He howled and dropped her, then yanked the bloody weapon free. Glass dagger, she said. It's a classic. He glared at her, then held up his arm. The bleeding wound began to heal. Hell. Ferrochemical healing? That proved it. She'd never met someone who naturally had two ferrochemical powers. He was using the forbidden art. Hemallergy. Marcy grabbed the rifle barrel and backed away, but their fight had positioned her so that she could only move toward the chasm. Each step took her farther from the doorway she'd come in through, or she might have been able to escape. Rusts. She retreated, step by step, holding the barrel of her rifle in one hand, the grenade in the other. How much charge did it have left? In the chaos, she hadn't tracked how much she'd used. The cycle followed, sticking her knife into his belt. Then, horribly, his eyes started to glow faintly red. Trell is choosing hosts, he said. Avatars bestowed with his power. How would you like to be the accomplishment that proves I'm worthy of immortality, lawwoman? All you have to do is die. She continued backward, her mind racing. He didn't seem worried he'd run out of strength anytime soon. Within moments, he had forced her up to the precipice of the chasm, near the clump of rocks he'd been hiding behind earlier. She put those between them, but they weren't very high. A quick glance told her that the chasm, now inches behind her, was at least 50 feet deep. No escape in that direction. You've backed yourself up against a pit, he said, advancing. Now what? Perhaps it's time to... what was it? Do the smart thing and surrender?
Instead, she set the grenade to go off on a few seconds' delay, then wedged it securely into a spot among the rocks. Then she gripped the barrel of her rifle under her arms and pressed it firmly against her chest. He frowned. Then the grenade went off. Force transference. Every push creates an equal and opposite push. The grenade shoved the rifle barrel, which hurled her backward with enormous force, straight across the chasm. She smashed back first into the wall. That was enough to stun her, but then the grenade's charge gave out. She dropped to the ground, safely across the chasm as she'd planned, but winded and dazed. Through teary eyes, she saw the cycle run and leap across the chasm. So she scrambled, half-blinded by pain, searching the dusty stone, looking desperately for the pistol... there! He loomed overhead, a terrible shadow, his arm raised to smash her skull. In response, she delivered 3 shots straight into his face. He dropped. Oh, hell, she thought, sitting up despite the pain. Wax did things like this all the time, leaping off cliffs, jumping around and slamming into things. How on Scadreel was his body not horribly ruined by it all? She prodded at her ribs, hoping nothing was broken. Her left shoulder protested the most, and she winced. The pain was so distracting that she had to force herself to focus. A shot to the head should stop a blood maker from healing, but some part of her insisted she should check anyway. She lurched over to inspect the corpse, and found the bullet wounds pulling closed on the man's head, the holes in the skull resealing. Rusting hell! She heaved the slumped over body onto its back and scrambled to pull out her knife from his belt. He was healing from bullets to the head? Something was very wrong here. She shot him again, but that would only be temporary. Instead, she ripped aside his shirt, revealing four spikes pounded in deep between his ribs. As she had suspected. Knife in hand, she began the gruesome work of digging the spikes out. She dug faster as she realized at least one of them was made of a strange metal with dark red spots like rust. One they'd been searching for forever. The cycle's eyes snapped open, despite his broken jaw and the holes in his skull. Marcy cursed and worked faster, bloodied fingers straining to pry out the first of the four spikes, which was so tightly embedded between his ribs it was difficult to yank free. Those eyes, they were glowing a vivid red now.
"The ash comes again," the man said through bloody lips, his voice strangely grating. "The world will fall to it. You will get what you deserve, and all will wither beneath a cloud of blackness and a blanket of burned bodies made ash."
Marcy gritted her teeth, working on the rusty-looking spike, slick with blood.
"Your end," the voice whispered. "Your end comes, either in ash or at the hands of the men of gold and red. Gold and—"
Marcy yanked the spike out. The red glow faded, and the body slumped, the healing stopping. She felt the throat anyway, and even when she found no pulse, she dug out the other three spikes. Then she finally leaned against the wall, groaning softly. Wayne had better have found a way to deal with those other thieves, because Marcy doubted she had the strength to lift a gun at the moment. Instead, she closed her eyes and tried not to think about that terrible voice.